Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To hear you out, let's go to Jared in Hayward. What's up, Jared?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple guys that Floyd could have fought in their 26, 28-year-old guys. Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Earl Spence.
Okay, let me stop you there. Do you think 10% of the audience right now has heard of either of those guys? 10% of our audience.
Okay, well, did anybody hear of Andre Berto, his last fight before he fought McGregor?
Nice.
No, but he didn't choose those guys. He chose this guy, that guy, Andre Berto, who had like two losses, three losses on his record. He didn't choose these guys 28 years old. I mean, Floyd was going to sell a fight regardless. He was making that money regardless, $30 million a fight.
Were you entertained? Did the fight entertain you?
The fight was a good fight in my eyes, yeah.
And that's all they owe you, right? I mean, as long as it's not an absolute mockery, which a lot of people thought it was going to be going in, and it wasn't. In that respect, McGregor did his job. A lot of people not only expected but wanted McGregor to fall flat on his face and look like a clown out there, which
he didn't.
It would make Mayweather look even worse for taking the fight if McGregor went out there and was a clown, but he wasn't. I mean, he held up fairly well. He didn't do a whole lot of damage, but who does do a whole lot of damage on Money Mayweather?
Hey, the real fight's 2 weeks, Triple G and Canelo.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for that. All boxing people or people that don't watch boxing, watch that one. Classic fight.
Thank you for the phone call, Jared. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, the first two guys that Jared mentioned, and that's why I asked him, do you think 10% of our audience has heard of those two guys? I've heard of Canelo and Triple G.
I can't wait.
You know, and that fight, basically, there's a lot of people.
It's a real fight.
And I disagree with them. They're saying, oh, they were complaining about Mayweather-McGregor, saying it's going to take away from Canelo-Triple G. Well, no, because that's coming first. And, yes, that's going to command the attention until that fight's over.
Do you think it breaks the pay-per-view numbers? I don't, Herbs.
It wasn't going to anyway. If it doesn't involve Pacquiao or Mayweather.
I'm watching the 24/7 on HBO. Young Nick and I, and it's phenomenal.
That's the best part of every boxing match.
I didn't see it for this one, though. They didn't have it for, unless I missed it.
For McGregor and Mayweather? No, they didn't. Did they?
It was on Showtime.
Showtime. Okay, yeah, I don't get Showtime. I get HBO.
Neither do I.
Do you know who does the voiceovers for all of those HBO
documentaries? Tell me, Michael Urban, who does the voiceovers?
Do you not know that? Do you really not know? Is it you?
No, but that would be my voice if they wanted to try out.
Oh, by the way, The Grudge Match. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah. It was Sly Stallone.
De Niro and Stallone.
Mr. HGH himself.
Grudge Match.
Yeah.
That was basically, you're right, that was basically Pacquiao and Mayweather. Right?
Yeah, saggy arms when they're throwing the jazz.
Grudge Match. So is Mayweather done now? Like, can we close the book on that before we move on to the NFL predictions?
Well, the funny thing about boxing, it's like rapping. After you drop an album, too short, oh, I'm retired. But it takes a while for you to do another album, so we really don't know. Mayweather's retired, but if, LeVar Ball wants to get in the ring and fight Money May, you know, could we see that, Urban? Could we see a LeVar Ball against Money Mayweather?
Oh, come on.
People would order it, right?
You would order it. You love you some LeVar Ball.
Yeah, but not in the boxing ring. But you get where I'm going. Anything's possible in this world now. So the fact that this fight went off without a hitch, hey, you give me two names and I'll order it.
All right. How about pay-per-view? LeVar Ball against Jordan, one-on-one.
Well, you know, that would break the real record just because of Jordan.
It would sell.
He'd have his Carolina blue shorts.
That's how ridiculous we are as a country. That would sell.
Yeah, it would. There you go.
Oh, man.
And baseball with their names on the jersey. Did you get enough of that?
Yeah, they turned me.
They turned me.
By the time it was all over, I was okay with it.
Well, Vince turned me. Vince, the great Vince.
Yeah, I know. Vince did turn you.
Yeah, when he did that, it was last Sunday he turned me.
Well, anytime, I mean, there's a certain gravitas with anything that Vince tells you about baseball. And he chooses his words very wisely. he just doesn't go off half-cocked like you and I do half the time. I mean, that's part of our job, right, is just to react and to be visceral and to be emotional. That's not Vince at all. Vince puts thought into things before he says it. We don't always do that. Yeah. That's why everything that comes out of Vince's mouth, you got to take pretty seriously.
Yeah.
He flipped you.
It was very profound what he said and the dynamic of passing the game of baseball down to your kids and,
mm-hmm.
and what that means and what it meant for him. And it was deep.
The thing that I think the final thing that turned me to liking it is that baseball recognized the need to explain all of the nicknames. Because that's kind of what I like hearing about Jarrell Cotton, Squeaky. Where did that nickname come from? Well, it came from the British Virgin Islands where he grew up and he had a bike.
Now, that was nice.
It wasn't the greatest bike and it was Squeaky and they still call
but
him Squeaky.
But every nickname didn't have that backdrop.
Right.
Some were just like, hey, you think of one and write it on the back. But when you have those with meaning, they do hit you in the cardiac muscle.
I mean, Matt Chapman, my Major League Baseball newest man crush, Chappie.
That dude has some power, man.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Is that what you call it?
Susan Slusser did an off day story on him. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle, really, really, really good on off day stories. She'll call somebody's second grade like PE teacher to get, was he flashing big league talent back then? I mean, she dives deep in it and she does a really nice job of that. So I'm looking forward to reading that. Also looking forward to February, the next Super Bowl. How are you going to top this Super Bowl that we just passed? The Super Bowl was so good last year that I actually went back to my Sports Illustrated this week and read the game story of the Patriots' comeback win over the Falcons.
Is that still coming out?
This week. No. It's the what's still coming out?
The Sports Illustrated, the actual hard copy.
Oh, yeah. Sports Illustrated still gets mailed to you.
Wow.
Doesn't
it's
kind of
ancient, though.
Doesn't get mailed to me. I steal mine from doctors and dentists' office. And maybe from the sports hub here at 95.70. But, yeah, it was – I don't know that you're ever going to be able to top that Super Bowl. But at the end of that Super Bowl article, there was – I think it was a sidebar on Tom Brady and talking about how long will he play.
Sarah High School here in the Bay Area.
He says he'd like to play until he's 45, and I would not put it past him. His numbers last year were insane.
Thank you. And the whole Garoppolo talk, he's getting upset. He's going to go somewhere. He wants to get in now. Well, the bar is set to the heavens,
right?
And he's not doing – Brady's not doing anything to show you he's getting any older.
He's getting better.
Hey, Jimmy, see you later, Jimmy G. You're just the guy that came behind the guy that never quit because he was so good.
And here's one of the stats that really jumped out at me. Now, what we typically see in the NFL is quarterbacks approach 40 is they lose that arm strength, right? They're not able to throw the deep ball, the tough throws.
That 15-yard out.
They make up for it in the wisdom they've acquired. If you're 40 years old in the NFL playing quarterback, then you've done some things in the league and you've learned a lot of things. So maybe that knowledge can...
I'm 40. I'm a man.
Right. Maybe that knowledge can get you that Super Bowl you've been looking for. Hello, Peyton Manning. I mean, he couldn't throw, but he won a Super Bowl, and you got to give him credit. Tom Brady is throwing dimes 25, 30 yards downfield at age 40. His career, he had the best career passing rating of passes 20 yards or more this past season. He had never thrown the deep ball better than he did this past season at 39 years old. That's nuts, man. How do you pick anybody but the Patriots to win the Super Bowl again this year?
Yeah, they're my pick right now.
They did it without...
I hate it. It makes me...
Gronk didn't even play. I mean, they were missing some talent off of that team.
Well, what's going to happen with Edelman, who we know is out towards ACL? Is that just a blip on the radar and Brady will just keep moving down the road? You
answer that question. Based on what we know of the New England Patriots.
Y-E-S. Yes, they'll just keep moving. The ship
of course, because it doesn't matter who's there. As long as they have Bill Belichick calling plays and Tom Brady executing plays.
And they just made a trade today, the Patriots, to get some more weaponry for Tom Brady. I'll give that to you in a minute. But their front office with the quarterback, we saw what they did with Randy Moss, who quit here in Oakland Herbs. This is going to go down as one of the best runs ever in American sports history, if it's not now. I know the Spurs had a great run with Tim Duncan and Pop. But this is different. This is football where young men try to take your helmet off, your head. And this guy, we saw him miss a year with a horrific leg injury years back. I thought that was the beginning of the end. But he just comes back. And I got to tell you, that first half of the Super Bowl Had I called you, I would have said, you know what? Tom looks old, man. He doesn't have it anymore. He was looking old, and out of nowhere, he put together one of the greatest second halves of Super Bowl history. His team wins. He's got the model wife. I don't know if that's his hair or not, but it don't matter. Still, he still looks good. He's got the boy. You know, he's the man right now.
The paparazzi is still, like, publishing pictures of him sunbathing nude, and he's almost 40. He's the asexual man of the century, Tom Brady. And he's going to be playing when he's 44 and 45 years old, and he's going to be kicking ass.
And let's be honest, the rules, if it were ever to happen, the rules are implemented now to where you can't do anything to the quarterback. It's a flag when you breathe on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's in that era for it to go 4 or 5.
Better than Joe?
No, because he
really?
Listen, let me tell you why. He lost to the same team twice, which tells me in a lab, I can create a kryptonite that can stop you. And that kryptonite is the New York Giant defense led by Michael Strahan and Ozzie and all those guys that came together. Joe Montana, there's no kryptonite because he's never lost.
Right. You know what? I never told you the name of the guy who does the voiceovers on HBO. Liv Schreiber.
Liv Schreiber.
Yeah, he's been in
on down.
That is a great voice. What's that? He's doing a cable series and has been for a long time. Very, very good. I'm sure the text line will
it's
hit
so
us up.
It's so good you remember it.
I don't watch it. I'm not a binge watcher. Are you a binge watcher on cable TV?
Yeah, I call it hoarder watching, but yeah. If I'm going in, I go.
Now, the one series that you turned me on to, which interestingly enough, you've never even watched, and you were so adamant about it via text that I jumped in right away because you said, Snowfall, now. And your now made me go now. Guru says I got to watch it now. And I'm hooked, but I don't have time to binge watch. I watch it one episode or a half episode at a time. I'm still only – how long ago was that, you think, that you told me about
that? I don't know, but I need to specify that the great Bonte Hill told me to go watch Snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, when you asked me, I went to his referral, but he got real upset that I didn't tell you that the origin – to watch Snowfall came from the great Bonte Hill.
He got upset about it?
God.
He's a little bit sensitive, huh?
Told you. I wouldn't say sensitive, but, you know, hey, he got his credit today.
All right. Thank you, Bonte. I appreciate it. The name of the show that's so good that I couldn't remember because I haven't watched it is Ray Donovan. And
his skin. I can't get past his skin.
Who, Liv Schreiber?
No, Ray.
What are you talking about? Ray Donovan?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of, like, a former NFL offensive lineman
or
something?
No, I'm thinking about the guy that's in the show with the divots in the face.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I can't get past that.
Wow. He's
HD, I just, yeah.
He was San Francisco born, so you have seen Ray Donovan. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
It's not Power, which is the season finale tonight.
You binge watch that?
I told you, yeah, I got problems.
All right, we are going to give you predictions. I promise we are, but I also promise callers we're not going to make them hang on all that long. So let's go to Mark in San Francisco and get him off the line and on the air. What's going on, Mark? You're with Herbs and Guru.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? How you guys doing?
All right.
Fantastic, man. Thank you for calling.
Hey, wanted to make a point about the whole Mayweather-McGregor fight. Now, I know there are people that are upset that Floyd didn't fight any serious contenders, but a boxer doesn't have to fight any contenders if he gave up his belts like Floyd did after the Pacquiao fight, which means he can fight whoever he wants, long as Las Vegas or whatever state he fights in sanctions the fight. And two, Floyd wasn't going to fight any up-and-coming fighter that could risk him making history because Floyd is a very good student of the game. He saw what happened to Larry Holmes, the last person who fought a sanctioned fight against a notable fighter at 49-0, which was Michael Spinks. And Michael Spinks won that fight on a decision when everybody knew that Larry Holmes was robbed because they both know that there is a serious race problem, always have been since Jack Johnson in the boxing game. But Floyd knew if he got somebody out of the boxing realm for his 50th fight, boxing, the sport itself, would protect him. So, and then on top of that, to get the most notable UFC fighter to be on the card, if it wasn't going to be Conor McGregor, he could have done the same thing with Nate Diaz. It's just that Conor McGregor is a better promoter. And the whole black and white issue came out again in this fight, which sold the fight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It sold the fight. Hey, Mark, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's go out to Oakland. And this is a fantastic name. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Guru. Brother, Where Art Thou? With George Clooney. One of the characters' name is Delmore. What's up, Delmore?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Super.
Hey, so generally, I try to distance myself from the fighting sports. It's just not where I want to put my money and my attention.
All right.
But I will say this.
So you're soft. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, no. No, I'm absolutely. I have no problem with that.
I'm the same with you. Continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no. Softy. So all I'm saying is that, but the conversation around the McGregor-Mayweather fight, I have to say, it has been more interesting than most of what I get in talk radio. And I have to say, I'm especially impressed. I'm like, I think the MMA and boxing.
Wait, hold on. You're in talk radio?
No, it's what you do in talk radio.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with you. It's more entertaining than anything else we've talked about in the last month. We're talking about football games that don't mean anything. I agree with you there.
And that I think that the people who are fans of boxing and MMA make some good phone calls. You've had a couple of them just in the last few minutes. And mm-hmm. people can lay it out there. So that's all I got to say.
Delmore, what's the genesis of your name?
Oh, family it's my name? Karaoke name. It's my karaoke name, to be honest.
Did you steal it from, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, no, definitely not. I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't?
It was probably when I was drunk, so I don't have an explanation.
For no other reason than there's a character named Delmore, and the character will be one of your favorites in the movie you need to watch, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I'll give you a second reason. The soundtrack, while so old school that you might find it as our bumper music here at 95.7 A Game, you got to check it out. It's a good movie. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Delmore. Delmore in Oakland, thank you for your time and your phone call. Ray Donovan from Rich the Mailman. Ray Donovan. Everybody is helping us out on the text line a couple of weeks ago. You kind of suggested don't trust the text line all the time, right?
Remember? Only when it's wrong.
Only when it's wrong.
Yeah.
I was going for like legal clarification on something.
Yeah, that's not.
And somebody texted us and said, I'm a lawyer and this, that. And Guru said, how the hell do you know he's a lawyer? He could be totally lying and giving you bad information. That's true. But when it comes to like movies and TV shows, I'm going to go ahead, take the text line's name word for it. By the way, as I was so proud of myself, flashing my Foreigner 4 knowledge, I get from the text line, Herbs, neither Hot-Blooded nor Cold as Ice are on Foreigner 4. They came from previous albums.
And I sat here as if you were just Case Keenum thinking, you know, what's the guy from American Bandstand?
Case Keenum, isn't that a former, like, four-string quarterback?
I'm in the ballpark.
From Houston? Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
Nice.
There we go.
Yeah, America's...
Bandstand.
And no, that's Dick Clark, but Ryan Seacrest, and I here's where you got confused. Ryan Seacrest took over Dick Clark's New Year's Eve show, and then he also took over Casey Kasem's Top 40 radio show.
You a big Seacrest fan?
Well, he took over Mike Strahan's role on Kelly and Regis or whatever. Yeah, I am. You know why? Because this guy is about as famous as you get in America, right? Ryan Seacrest, everybody knows who he is. And to a man, everybody that I know that has crossed paths with him say he is the nicest guy in the world, and it's genuine. He's nice when there's no cameras around. He's nice in an elevator. He's nice in the bathroom.
Because I created my own bias about Seacrest. Like, this is the type of dude that talks on the phone with a mirror in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, they say he's nothing like that.
And if he wasn't famous, he'd just shrivel up. But to hear that?
Dude, when I look at my screen and it's flashing, it's basically young, well-dressed John behind the glass saying, Herbs, look at your screen.
He's got the sweater off today because it's hot.
Yeah, he's not as well-dressed as he normally is, and I don't know that he went with product in his hair today.
Product? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, it's almost like young, well-dressed John said, oh, I'm good. I don't need to impress anybody anymore. Wow.
Uh-oh.
We got breaking news, and I hear Slick Nick now has the breaking news sounder.
Yeah.
That's aggressive breaking news, sounder, and I like it. The Broncos have signed. You ready for it?
Give it to me.
Brock Osweiler.
What is... Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. It's on the screen. If it's on the screen, it must be true. Brock Osweiler.
This is the writers' division.
The Broncos signed him.
They don't know what they're doing.
That is a weird.
It's super weird, and it's not like he's gotten any better.
Right.
He's still a bum.
Let's give him another look-see, see if he got any better.
John Elway, it's a debacle, the quarterback situation, the way it's being handled in the Mile High.
Yeah, is that a reach? Is that John Elway admitting he may have made a mistake? Or are they saying, no, really, he worked on things, he got better?
I'm using the E-word, embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing that they went and brought him back. John, what are you doing, buddy?
I mean, when I initially looked at it, Broncos signed Brock Osweiler, I thought, okay.
That's a joke. That still has to be a August joke, September joke.
Just because we're playing 20-year-old music doesn't mean we have to play 2-year-old stories.
Right. John Elway, man.
The Broncos signed Brock Osweiler.
What does that?
You got to feel good if you're a Raider fan about
Paxton
that, right?
Paxton Lynch, we know he got hurt. We know he's injured. But the fact that. I thought they just wanted to get as far away as possible from a guy like Brock and all that he brought that was just, you know, the butt of all jokes and just, you know, bad football, you know, bad quarterback play. And you go get him?
Bad catting. By the way, the text line's pumping me up right now. Ryan Seacrest also interviewed, wait for it, Case Keenum on his radio show last year. Maybe that's where you got it from.
Oh, of course.
Why would Ryan Seacrest be interviewing Case Keenum?
I think that's
wrong.
I think it's your other guy.
I don't know. Casey Kasem is dead, so it couldn't have been him. Case Keenum was backing up Jared Goff with the Rams.
So your guy, Roger Lodge in L.A., Mr. L.A.
We haven't had Roger on in a while.
He's been on Twitter. He's been active. We should get him on tomorrow. Let's see if Nick can help us out.
Let's do it. Who's producing us tomorrow? Is it Tommy Call?
See if Nick can get us done.
Nick's producing us tomorrow. Look at that.
Wow, Nick, what a...
Versatility is employability.
Sign of endorsement. This guy didn't even know what I told you.
Nick can be the board op. He can be the executive button pusher.
Okay,
he can
be the
DJ.
Okay, don't whisper sweet nothings now. You didn't even know he was producing the show tomorrow.
I didn't know he produced
Flag
at all. I thought
you.
He was just getting his reps in as a board op. That's typically the way the progression goes, right?
Yeah.
You get your business taken care of as a board op, and then they say, okay, let's give him a little bit more responsibility.
Unless you're McGregor. You go straight to the...
God, you're bitter about that. Why? That's the only guy that would have sold that fight as well as it was sold.
He did a great job. I'm older than him. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan, too. Okay, let's do the divisions. We got to pay off the tees.
All right.
AFC East. Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, Bills.
That's a joke, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I got the Pats.
I think you have the Pats.
All right.
AFC North. Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
Pittsburgh.
Why?
They got Big Ben. They lost in the AFC Championship last year, and I think they made some improvements with Joe Hayden to their defense. I'm going with the Steelers.
I'm also going with the Steelers because I think they're the most balanced team, and I love Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
AFC South. Texans, Jags, Colts,
I'm a shock
Titans.
Mr. Mariota, I'm going with the Titans.
Really?
Yeah. Who else in the division is enticing? Andrew Luck, we don't know what's going on with him. They're hiding information. The Texans.
I'm pulling for the Texans because they're from Houston, and I now love J.J. Watt.
That's nice.
Emotional pick.
Yeah.
AFC West, Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders.
I'm going with my
heart. And Chargers.
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, me too. They're winning the
Until
division.
Until I see otherwise.
Unless Brock Osweiler got a hell of a lot better since he was last.
That's still bothering me. That'll bother me on the ride home.
Well, call me and I'll talk you off the ledge.
Well, you won't answer, but go ahead.
What are you talking about? That is not cool. Not cool to put out over there. I answer your call every time you call. Unless my house is on fire, then I don't answer.
Well, see, now you got me on that one, but you're right. You do answer.
Let's go over to...
Go ahead.
Let's go over to the NFC.
Yeah.
NFC North.
Come on.
What?
Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
And what about
without me even saying the
what
rest
about
of the
love he gave Cap, though?
Vikings are a sleeper.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I really do.
Oh, they got the defense. They're not ready to surpass Green Bay.
You're not feeling the Lions or the Bears in that division?
No.
All right. NFC South. Buccaneers, Saints, Panthers, Falcons.
This used to be a joke, but it's the Falcons. They're going back. They got payback on their mind. They're the class of that division.
Mm. Remember what happened to the Panthers? The last...
Yeah, he didn't fall on the fumble.
The teams that lose the
they
Super Bowl...
Get dirty.
The teams that lose the Super Bowl tend to struggle. All right.
NFC West.
Finally, you know what? We're missing a division here. What happened to NFC East? NFC East isn't on here.
It's after the East. After the West.
It's not on the sheet that I have. Anyway, NFC West, we'll do the NFC East a little bit later. Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams. I'm going Cardinals. You are going who?
Going Niners.
Oh, stop it.
I'm going Niners.
You only predicted 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah, I'm going Niners. It's my pick. That's what I feel like right now on this day, that the Niners are going to shock everybody.
You're such
and
a
win
brown
this division.
Nose. Wow. What a homer. I never thought either of us would get accused of homerism. And you're about to get some on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line.
Well, I don't think anybody will find that shocking.
If you think Guru's being a homer.
Wow. I'm shocked at you.
888-957-9570 or the PenskeAutoSales.com text line.
And yes, we know the Cal Bears won. It was a big game, and they showed guts. They won in North Carolina.
Young,
I'm happy.
Hey, young, not-so-well-dressed John is a big Cal Bears fan. Why? Tell us again, John. I'll tell you why.
And Roxy Bernstein, too.
He went to San Francisco State, and they don't have football. So,
he doesn't qualify.
He was looking for a team to adopt.
Oh, no. We got to talk.
His brother applied for Stanford. Turned him down. Cal accepted him. Oh. He said, I'm a Cal guy.
Well, guess what? You're in.
There's family
in,
ties
John.
There.
Gotcha. There it is. Alex P. Keaton.
I'm with him. All right. So, we've kind of broken down the Niners with Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee. Now we're going to break down the Raiders. It is cut down day from 90 to 53. So we'll talk to our good friend Mike Wagaman. I'm Michael Urban. He's Daryl Johnson. Herbs.
Now back to Michael Urban and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, now we're just taking CDs right out of Guru's car and putting them on the air because you know Leonard Skinner's in heavy rotation.
No,
in
I'll
Guru's
let him
car.
Hold it. I told him give it back when they're done.
All right. It's very nice of you to chip into the show like that.
Anything I can do.
We're going to be talking a little Silver and Black, and who better to talk about them than one of the writers for Silver and Black Illustrated. He is a good friend of ours, good friend of mine, good friend of the program and the station. He is Mike Wagaman. Wags, what's going on, brother? How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen?
We're having the best time. We've got only a half an hour left. Our first 2.5 hours have flown by, and if that's any indication, the next 10 minutes are going to fly by, too, because every time you're on the air with us, and you are frequently, and we appreciate that, it's always a good time. Maybe not a good time for a bunch of people who are wearing silver and black on Thursday night, because today is the cut-down day, but any huge surprises for you, Wags?
There's two that kind of stood out to me, and with one, you could kind of see the writing on the wall, but the other one really jumped out at me, and the two cuts that I'm talking about are Jelani Jenkins, the linebacker, and then LaTroy Lewis, the young linebacker, the rookie linebacker, who I really thought was going to make this team. Every time you looked at this kid in practice or even in the games, he's flashing, he's making plays. Thursday night against the Seahawks, the kid was all over the field. I really, really thought that he had done enough to make the team. From what I hear, they're hoping he clears waivers and they can bring him back on the practice squad. But when a guy has put out what that kid has on tape, I'd be surprised if he does clear waivers. With Jenkins, he was the guy, the veteran linebacker that they had signed in the offseason in March, you know, ostensibly to be the weak side linebacker, and that's where he was in the offseason workouts and early in camp. But probably second, third week of camp, you started seeing Corey James in that spot and Jelani Jenkins working with the second string. Corey James is a guy that at the start of camp was actually in competition for the starting middle linebacker job with Markell Lee. The two of them were actually splitting reps with that first-team defense. And then, like I said, about week two, into early week three of that of training camp, the Raiders started moving Corey James over into that weak side spot. So I think that's what you're going to see. That's your starting trio of linebackers: Bruce Irvin, Markell Lee, and Corey James right now. But those two cuts, why they surprise me, I think more than anything, not just because of the name factor with Jelani Jenkins and what they thought of him in the preseason, but linebacker's probably the one position, that and cornerback, where they're the most thin. And I would have thought it was a numbers game, that they would have kept more linebackers, and they still may, you know, in the long run. But, you know, I thought that those two probably would have stuck around. So if there's any surprises today, you know, on the first wave of cuts, that would be it for me.
Wags, help me, talk me off the ledge, because what I did last year when I was talking to you. I was Mr. 13-3. I was fired up. I know the Raiders had some issues on defense, but I just felt like Del Rio and company would get it taken care of. But now this year, Wags, I got to tell you, I'm petrified. And I'm petrified because it seems like everybody's okay with the Raiders having to score 30-40 to win. And I'm just wondering, I know it's preseason, what have you not seen from the defense? Because I'm scared they're not going to be able to get off the field on third downs. And, Wags, if you can't do that, as good as your offense is, that's not a recipe to knock off New England.
No, not at all. And you ask me what I have not seen. I've not seen anything from this defense. And I always take the preseason with a grain of salt because of what it is. And basically, it's glorified practice, nothing more than that. And anybody making a big judgment one way or the other, I think, is mistaken and misled. But that being said, with all the issues that the Raiders had on defense and the focus that they seemed to put on it in the off season and in, you know, through free agency and the draft, you would have liked to see a little bit better performance, especially out of that secondary. You know, some of the receivers against the Raiders this preseason just got too wide open for my comfort factor. And, you know, they brought in John Pagano, the former Chargers defensive coordinator, to kind of give Kenny Norton a hand. And you've got three guys now kind of running that defense in unison between Ken Norton, Pagano, and Jack Del Rio. You would think just by osmosis they would be better. But I honestly, you know, a bunch of writers went out after the game the other night, had a little dinner, and we were talking. This defense is not better. You cannot say this defense is any better than it was a year ago. Now, they were able to overcome those problems a year ago, but they had a lot of close games, you know, I can't remember, 7 or 8 games that were decided by 10 points or less or something like that, you know. All it takes is 1 or 2 plays to flip those games the other way. So it's a real thin line that the Raiders are walking right now. The good thing is they do have an offense. As long as Derek Carr can stay healthy, they do have an offense that's probably going to put up 30-40 points a week. So it's going to make for some exciting football. I don't think that anybody in the Bay Area who's familiar with the term torture watching the San Francisco Giants when they were winning their world championships, you know, I think it's going to be pretty much the same kind of atmosphere at the Coliseum. You're going to see a lot of games go down to the wire, a lot of high-scoring games. So, I wish I had better news for you, Guru, but seems like I'm talking you off the ledge almost every other time I'm talking to you.
Yeah, it's just the life that Guru lives. The voice you hear is that of Mike Wagaman. He's a senior writer for Silver and Black Illustrated, a longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press, and also a master at spitting out $10 words that start with O. He's already dropped ostensibly and osmosis in this segment alone. Very well done, Wags. I appreciate that. Wags, T.J. Ward. Cut by the Broncos. You see the Raiders being interested?
If they're not, especially when we found out Joe Hayden, that the Raiders were talking to him, and Joe Hayden admitted that the Raiders acknowledged to him they're in the market for a veteran corner. So absolutely, any guy that becomes available right now, the Raiders, it better be one of the first three teams talking to him, whoever it is. And T.J. Ward is a guy they know all about. Jack Del Rio should be very familiar with him. Everybody, Pagano being in the division, everybody should be real familiar with this guy. There shouldn't be a lot of discussion. Look, this is a position where we're obviously weak. You don't know what's going to happen with Sean Smith. You hope the situation there, his legal situation works out, but you don't know where he is. Gary Conley did not play, their first round pick, did not play in the preseason at all. I don't know how much of an impact he can make through that first month of the season. I'd be real surprised if he makes, you know, if he makes more than just a note, you know, a little minimal contribution. So that's a position, like I said, that and middle linebacker or linebacker in general are the two positions that really concern me on this defense. And so, yeah, if I'm Reggie, I've been had Ward out for dinner already. I've wined him, I've dined him, and I've offered him a contract.
Wags, I hear you. You make perfect sense. And I just want to talk about Ken Norton Jr. and the Pagano experience. Do you find it odd that it seems like there's two coordinators and, you know, the camera goes to Pagano at times and he's doing whatever he's doing, but it looks like he's running the defense? It's almost like Norton Jr. is the sacrificial lamb if the defense doesn't play well. Is that just me when I watch that and it just seems kind of odd?
It's very very odd. And what really struck me was during training camp, you know, we would get, you know, they had a regular schedule where Jack Del Rio would talk every, you know, every other day or every day. It was all coordinated when Khalil Mack would talk, when Derek Carr would talk. And you had days when the coordinators would talk, when the offensive coordinator, Tom Downing, would talk, days when Ken Norton would talk, the defensive coordinator. And then we got John Pagano. And I just found that odd that here we are talking to a guy who's not the defensive coordinator, and we're talking to him extensively about the defense and some of those things. And, yeah, it's very odd, and I'm real curious to see how this plays out, especially if this defense starts struggling early. If it doesn't play well, the heat's going to be on. If they take a couple early losses because of that defense, yeah, the heat's going to be on. And from the appearance, yeah, it looks like Kenny Norton is going to be the fall guy if things go wrong, and then Pagano will slide over and take over the full duties if he's not done so yet already. So it's a real different situation. And what I found interesting is that in talking to David Hammerson, their cornerback, recently, you know, I asked him what kind of impact Pagano had. And he said, well, he's really clearing things up. You know, he's really breaking things down, especially for the younger guys, really getting really detail oriented. And my follow up was, okay, you're saying he's clearing things up. Does that mean there was a lot of gray area? And he kind of said, no, I'm not saying that. But he's just very detail-oriented. And what that kind of led me to believe is that, you know, whatever experience Kenny Norton has, I don't know how good of a teacher he is in the secondary. You know, he's a linebacker. He's always seen things in front of him that way. I don't know what kind of a defensive back coach he's been. And I think Pagano has come in, and he's been a defensive coordinator for many, many years. He's a guy that's seen all levels of the defense, has worked all levels of the defense. And so I think he's being a little bit more detailed with the instructions and how they're coaching those guys back there. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, especially when you look at Jack Del Rio's history down in Jacksonville for, you know, the unofficial NFL record for firing assistants. So, and he's already let Bill Musgrave go, so we'll see how this plays out for Ken Norton and that defense this year. I got to think, if Ken Norton makes it through this year, and I'll be real honest with you, I'll be real surprised. From what I've seen from the defense, what I know, what the setup is, I'd be real surprised if Kenny Norton's still the defensive coordinator at the end of the year.
Wags, you're the best. I do have to go out with a slight negative. You went from ostensibly to osmosis. I point out your mastery of big words that start with O, and all you followed up with was odd in this last answer.
Well, I'm going to see my friend who's an ophthalmologist.
Ooh, very nice. Hey, leave him laughing.
Nice.
End on a high note.
Hey, baby.
Wags, you're the best. Thank you for your time on a busy weekend.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Mike Wagaman, he's a senior writer for Silver and Black Illustrated, also a longtime freelancer for the Associated Press. You can follow Wags. Shame on me, I haven't given his Twitter handle. Not once during that whole interview. I was just blinded by the light.
You're all about yourself.
Was that another Foreigner reference? Was that on Foreigner 4? Blinded by the light? Or is that ELO? I don't know.
You're ready.
By the way, his Twitter handle is at M Wagaman, WAGAMANJASONPAGE. Jason Page, who we're going to be handing the baton to, is going to do a little crosstalk with us in the next segment. But more important than that, Guru's got a few things that he wants to get off his chest, and I believe he is going to make an admission that at some point during this program, I swayed him. One quick look at the text line. Guru, you're my new favorite host. Go Niners, for you picking the Niners to win their division.
I'm excited.
Are you excited for Guru's gripes?
I'm excited about what the Niners have in store.
I'm Michael Urban. He's Daryl Johnson. Herbs and Guru, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Michael Urban and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All I can think of is Dazed and Confused, another one of my favorite movies when I hear this song. Aerosmith, they were the headliners when my lovely wife and I went to see them. The opening band was Lenny Kravitz. I bet Lenny Kravitz doesn't open for Aerosmith again anytime soon because he's about five times better than Aerosmith, and Aerosmith knew it.
Wow.
That's my classic rock
Walk
knowledge
this way.
For you.
I'm sure Jay knows about that. We
That's
got a
right.
special guest in the studio.
We do have a special guest, and he's going to be taking you from 3 o'clock to, what are you going to, 7, 6,
no,
5,
easy,
4?
They're easing me into this thing.
As three they should, five. Because your strength might three be sapped. Jason Page joins us for the handoff. Jason, you came from Connecticut. You were telling me.
I worked out here before.
No, I know, but I'm talking about you just came from Connecticut, quite literally. And you said you came out here in part to get away from the god-awful hot eastern summers, and now you're here, and you brought the heat with you. Thanks.
I walked from BART down, like, four blocks, and I got here. My polo is sticking to me. And if anybody's ever seen pictures of me, I'm not a handsome man. I don't have this amazing build. I am frumpy.
Fact.
Frumpy.
He called me old and frumpy during the break.
Herbs has already refused to
like
work with me.
Lumping me in.
Herbs has already refused to work with me going forward because I lumped him in with frumpy.
He said we couldn't be any good on the air because we're a couple of old frumpy white men.
Jay,
I'm like,
how
am I not offended by this?
Though, the temperature. When you arrive, this doesn't happen.
No,
what's going through your mind?
It's awful. Like I said, in the place I'm living in, my friends that I'm crashing with, they don't have air conditioning because nobody uses air conditioning. So we've got fans throughout the whole house strategically placed. My dog is miserable. It's
all right, now I'm mad all over again about what you said in the break. Tell us what's going on in your show and get the hell out of here.
Now he's mad at me. He rips me for liking Nickelback. He rips me. Then he makes fun of Aerosmith. I've seen Aerosmith. I love Aerosmith.
Just playing a character.
And I was just saying, Herbs is actually one of my favorite people from my first go-around here, 2011 and 2012. Listen. With all due respect, Herbs, if I'm going to kiss up to people,
anytime,
come on,
the truth is coming.
Anytime a ranch starts with all due respect,
if I'm kissing up to people,
he kept it.
Anytime it starts with all due respect, you're about to get disrespected. All right, what do you got going on the show, Jason?
We got to get into some NFL stuff. I think the Patriots, the Patriots always find a way to get better. And you know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Dorsett's going to wind up being the next coming. He's done nothing while in Indianapolis. So we'll get into what that means in the AFC picture. A couple of surprising cuts that I've seen this afternoon. And Matt Barkley getting let go yesterday, obviously. That was a big story. Jeremy Curley gets let go. That surprised me. I thought they'd figure out a way to keep him on the roster. But I did say yesterday on the show, I like Victor Bolden. Love Victor Bolden.
There was no way he was going to get cut.
Listen, I'm glad they did because they need playmakers.
And I was telling Irv, just back to New England, are they the best franchise in American sports? I mean, they're going. This isn't just it's Luke and
damn
and
close.
It's Obi-Wan and Yoda. It's just how does this keep happening to where they're this good, man?
When you have it built that well, and you have a structure in place, and you have stability, and guys that stay in place for one time for a long time, you're going to be successful. When you change coaches every year, like the Cleveland Browns, you're going to have problems.
Sounds like you got a good show in shape. Good luck here. Frumpy old white self.
No, come on now, man.
I'm having the best time right now. Beat it. Have a good show. By the way, very much agree with anybody who's down with Victor Bolden Jr. The text line actually says Victor Bolden Jr. is Devin Hester 2.0. That's maybe going
a
little bit
overboard. And it was the last preseason game, but I won't take that from him. He looked electric.
It is time now for Guru's Gripes.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Shut the fuck up!
You're starting to piss me off.
It makes me so mad!
Oh, please don't make me angry, pal. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You think you can do this to me? What the fuck you think you fucking with? King Kong ain't got on me!
It's time for Guru's Grubs, mother.
Now, we all know that I appreciate.
Wait. This music's way too cool. Can we get some Creedence Clearwater underneath him?
I thought we were breaking Jason in.
Go ahead.
So we respect the job that Reggie McKenzie has done. But Helen Keller, Jason, can see that this defense needed help at the cornerback position. And the fact that he didn't go get Joe Hayden, I'm just, can I be disappointed? Is it fair for me to be disappointed that he's not in the silver and black? And I know he wanted to go to Pittsburgh, but I just thought, fellas, he could just make that call, sell what they got going on here in Oakland, and Hayden could be silver and black before they take on the Titans. Is that too much to ask?
No, is it too much to ask for you to go on air with what you said during the break about me saying the Raiders should have gone after Reuben Foster, should have drafted him?
No, that looks like it could be a story that develops, but I'll talk about that week six. Is that fair? Six
Rube!
Weeks? But tell me, Jay, Joe Hayden, you got to give it. You got to
still
get him
here.
You got to get
Mike's
him
not
here.
On, why are you looking at him?
Whoa. That's my teammate.
We got a love connection here? You're staring at him like, wow. I'm not even here.
Herbs has got green, which means jealous.
Just getting disrespected from my left, from my right. Wow, my house burned down. You would think people would treat me with kid gloves on a Saturday. Oh. No. Let's go after Herbs. Bam, bam, bam.
Wow.
Bam. What's the rest of your gripes, Guru?
Now, LeVar Ball giving,
why are you
16,
looking at me? Okay,
giving his 16-year-old son a lamb. Come on, you can't do that as a parent. I won't even go safety reasons, but there's a lot going on in this world. You cannot just give your 16-year-old kid. You can, but it's just not the right parenting play. Am I out of pocket with that assessment?
Looking right at Jason Page when he asked that question. Doesn't even look at me anymore. Wow, that's magnetism. Jason Page has.
This feels really awkward right now.
It's not awkward for me. I'm having the best time. This is hella funny to me.
Awkward.
Wow.
This
I want
is
that
funny.
Ring back, Herbs. Gosh, I'm sorry.
Are you talking about my Hall of Fame ring that I'm going to get next June that you never talked about?
Tell
last
us about
week?
It, yeah.
No. We're not going
give
there.
Give me the LeVar Ball.
We got less than a minute. Okay, I'll tell you. I just got a call last Sunday that I'm being inducted into the Kenyatta College Sports Hall of Fame, the only athlete in school history to win championships in both sports. Not only am I being inducted, I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. The only two people in school history that got that were Harold Reynolds and Moises Alou. And I get a ring, and I get a plaque, and I get to give a speech.
What sports
like
did
I
you
won
play?
An Oscar. Basketball and baseball.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you didn't go pro either one.
I did not. I'm the only 6'7 left-hander in major college history to go undrafted.
At least you're honest, Herbs. That's why we love you, baby.
Billy Beane wrote that in the foreword of my book. He said,
did
Herbs
he really
maybe,
put that?
Yeah, he may be the only 6'7 left-hander in Division I history to not get drafted.
Oh.
It's because they didn't value intangibles back then. We value intangibles here at 95.7 The Game. Great job, young, not-so-well-dressed John. Great job, Slick Nick.
Wow.
Guru, awesome as usual. Good luck to you in the next couple of hours. Jason Page, I'm Michael Urban. He's Daryl Johnson. Herbs and Guru, 95.7 The Game. Guru, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.